Good to be in the Lord's house today. I said, now I know some of you are getting old and hard of hearing, but it is good to be in the Lord's house today. Amen? Now I'm going to tell you something. Y'all been dragging around this morning. Excuse me. I didn't come here for a funeral service. Amen? Y'all, come on, get with me, okay? Now, just humor me. I'm from the South. I'm used to amens, and if I don't get them, I just preach longer and louder. Till I do get them, amen? So it's up to you. It's up to you. Yeah. Amen. Well, it is good to be here. Boy, I tell you, enjoyed the choir. I love that song. That's one of my favorite songs. I love, if you can't see his hand, trust his heart. I'll be honest with you, there's been a lot of times in my life where I could not see the hand of God moving and doing things in my life. I didn't pick up on it. But I knew this, I could always trust his heart because his heart is always for my good. And so I praise the Lord for that. And it is good to see all of you this morning. Got some new faces. And we're glad to see you today and hope to get to meet you and spend a little time with you. Maybe we can fellowship while, or you can fellowship while I'm eating. Amen. Because I plan on eating. I'm one of those that didn't bring anything, but I'm not leaving. I'm going to stay and eat. Amen. And so it's up to you. If you want to play that silly game, go ahead. But honey, I came to eat. Amen. So praise the Lord for that. I've been thinking about it. 52 years the church has been established, going, and praising the Lord, preaching the Word of God. And, well, that is an honor to have a church. And what's amazing is to have a church that still stands on and for the Word of God. Amen. So many are changing today. Boy, I tell you, it's heartbreaking. We've been in evangelism now. We just started our 12th year this year, and to see the churches that have changed in the 12 years has really been discouraging. But I'm thankful and praise God that we can come back to some that have never, ever changed, and I praise the Lord for that. So with that thought this morning about celebrating 52 years, I want you to turn with me in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 46 years ago, this past March, I got saved. 45 years ago, this coming May, I surrendered to preach. The first message I preached when I was 20 years of age was in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. So we're going to go back a few years and preach a message. You know, I said that this church still stands on and for the Word of God, and I thank God for that. We're going to preach a message that I have preached years ago here at this church. You probably won't recognize it. I'll chop it up so bad you won't know it anyway, but I want us to preach it again today. I feel like this is Lord, what the Lord would have us to have because of just keeping on for Jesus. You know, sometimes we feel like if we listen to the world, we feel like we're outdated and, you know, we need to change. We need to get more modern and all this junk. And I'm thankful, praise God, we need to stick with what works. Amen? Amen? And the gospel of Jesus Christ not only still works, it's the only thing. It is the only thing that works. Now, I know the world is saying, well, we got to change it. We got to, kind of rearrange it and all this. But my friend, listen to me, this new stuff is not working. It's not changing the hearts and lives of people. And that's what the Word of God will do. The gospel will change the heart of an individual, and it'll change the life of an individual. I've seen drunkards come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they give up their drinking. I don't mean they taper off. I mean they quit. Amen? I've seen dope heads come to the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved, my friend. And they leave the drugs alone. I don't mean for just a little while and then they get back. I'm talking about they walk away and leave it, my friend. I've just seen old sinners, praise God, just walk off from sin. Why? Because Jesus lives in our heart. He makes a difference, my friend. I'm telling you this morning. So if you'll stand with us, we'll read in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. The Bible is teaching us. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Now, I want you to notice here, first of all, there's a charge here. It's a charge to preachers. I understand that. But we're talking about this morning, why do we keep preaching the same old-fashioned gospel? And that affects every one of us, because it's up to each of us to hold true to this Bible, amen, and to stand upon the principles of the Word of God and the precepts of the Word of God. And so there's a charge there, and then he says that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to judge the quick and the dead, the quick and the dead is talking about and referring to the saved and to the lost. We that were dead in our sins and trespasses, has he quickened. He's quickened us or made alive. That's who it's talking about. The dead is talking about the lost. They're dead in their sins and trespasses, and they're going to be judged, my friend. We've kind of forgotten about this judgment in this day and time in which we live. We act like we're going to live our life down here the way we want to, and when we die, maybe we'll go to heaven if there is a heaven, and if it is, we'll all be up there just having a hoop-de-doop time, you know. But my friend, the truth is, only those that are saved, born again, this old-fashioned way are going to be in heaven, amen. And those that have not been saved are going to be going to die and go to a devil's hell. But my friend, there is a judgment, and we have forgotten all about the judgment. There's a judgment. The Bible tells us there's a judgment of the Christians. My friend, the judgment seat of Christ is going to judge us Christians. There we'll stand before God, and we're going to give an account of the things that we've done. My friend, not to see whether we go to heaven or not. That's determined already here in this earth. Amen. But my friend, we'll be judged according to our works, whether they line up with the Word of God or not. Amen. I mean, this old philosophy, well, that's the way you see it. I see it a little different. I'll do it my way. You do it your way. It'll be all right. That's not true. That's a lie out of the pit of hell. We better be doing it God's way. Amen. And you say, well, I'm not sure what God's way is. You got a book. Amen. Get in and find out. Amen. You better obey God rather than man. That's what the Bible tells us. My friend, there's no, well, I'll think about it. No, it's nothing to think about, it's something to do. Amen. So there'll be that judgment, and then there'll be the judgment, the Bible calls it the great white throne judgment. That'll be the judgment of the lost. Not again, not to see whether you go to hell or not, that is determined here on earth. If you have not received Christ as your personal Savior, then hell will be your eternal home. You're going to be judged, my friend. So we better kind of wake up and see what's going on in our lives today. But notice also in verse number 2, he says, here's the charge, preach the word. Now, that doesn't mean preach just any old book out here. It says the word. What is the word? The Bible says Jesus is the word. The word was made flesh, John chapter number 1. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So this is the word, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. And it says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. See, some of us get mad when the preacher kind of gets in our circle. Huh? He gets meddling in my business. Amen? Well, let me remind you this. That's what we're called to do. So all you're doing, if you go behind my back and talk about me, that preacher, he got his nose in my business. All you're doing is bragging on me. Amen. All you're doing is saying he's doing his job. And I know you don't want to do that. You don't want to compliment me, so watch out what you say. Amen. But that's what we've been charged to do, Pastor. Preach the word. Be instant in season. Be ready. That's what he's talking about. Be ready. Sometimes we get into a church and it's in season to preach. Boy, you can tell it's in season, because they're sitting there saying, amen, preacher. Yeah, come on, preacher. Amen, preacher. That's in season. Out of season is when they... Amen. That's out of season. Amen. So you don't want to be out of season this morning, surely. Amen. But then he tells us, he says, verse 3, for the time will come. I think it's about that time. What do you say? Well, he says this, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, aren't we there? Folks don't want to hear sound doctrine anymore. I don't want to hear, last thing I want is somebody to tell me how to live. Well, I got news for us. If somebody don't tell us how, we won't know how. Amen. That's what, listen, God created us. He made us. My friend, he put us together the way we're supposed to be put together. And you and I just can't make it without him. We'll stumble and fall. We'll make a mess. We'll make a wreck out of our life. To prove it, look at your own life. You don't even have to look at somebody else. Look at your own life. My friend, most of us here made a mess out of our life. And then Jesus came along and straightened that mess out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Oh, listen, we need some help today in how do I live? What's the proper way to live? What am I supposed to do? We need some help in this area. And God says, I want to help you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We just keep making a mess out of it if we don't have God's help. He says that time's going to come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. Verse 3. But after their, after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, we need to get rid of our preacher. We need a new preacher because that preacher, he's always stepping on my toes. He's always trying to tell me, like I said, how to live and all. We need us a new preacher. No. You just need to get your heart right with God. You'll love the old preacher when you find out he's doing God's work. Amen. You'll learn to appreciate the man of God, my friend, when you get your heart right with God. Amen. You'll find out he's the best friend you got down here on earth. Hallelujah. There y'all go. Getting out of season right quick. Amen. He says, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. There are more and more folks today that are looking at preachers, and they'll tell you this. And I know because they've told me, I don't care what the Bible says. I just know I want to. And here they go with it. God help us. I'm telling you, this life is coming to a quick end for all of us. My friend, we better be ready because we are going to, whether you like it or not, whether you agree or not, it don't matter at all. The Bible plainly teaches us we're all going to stand before God one of these days. You might as well get set for it. It's going to happen. I don't care. You say, well, I've talked to several folks that don't believe. I don't care if you've talked to a billion folks, my friend, and they've all agreed with you. That just means there's a billion and one folks wrong. Because the Bible is the truth, and it is the final authority. I don't care how many folks says it's not real. My friend, they'll find out one of these days that it is the Word of God. Amen. So he says in verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you today, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your precious word that men have today have gotten so cold toward and so indifferent toward it, Father. Yet, Lord, I thank you so much for giving me your word. And God, it's a guideline to show me how I need to live. And God, and not only that, but God, you teach me about you and about your love. And Lord, I want to live this way. I want to live for you, Lord. I want to please you, dear God. Because Lord, you're the only one that's ever cared for me. Lord, you're the only one when I was lost and undone. You're the only one that could come my way and change my life. I want to thank you this morning, Lord, for eternal life in Jesus Christ. I thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, just for the love that you've shown toward me. And I pray today, God, that you'll continue to visit with us in this meeting, Lord. And God, I pray this morning that you'll take your word. God, that you'll apply it to our hearts and lives. I pray this morning, Lord, if there's somebody here that's lost, that does not know you as their personal Savior, that this will be the day. This will be the moment, Lord, that they'll realize they're lost and on the road to a devil's hell, and there's not a thing they can do about it. And then, Lord, I pray, God, as they realize that, Father, that you will show yourself to them in such a manner that they'll realize you are the Savior, and they'll come to know you as their personal Savior. Help us Christians, Father. Sometimes, Lord, we get cold and indifferent. Lord, sometimes we get like these. We turn to fables. We have those itching ears, and we just want little stories told, and we want to be told we're doing okay the way we're doing, but Lord, the truth is we're not doing so good. Lord, we need your help. God, would you speak to your people today? Bring us back, Lord. Some of us are like that prodigal son. We've wandered off, and Lord, if we're not careful, we'll end up in that old hog pen. God, would you help us today to come to ourselves and realize we have a Father in heaven that loves and cares for us. Lord, we don't have to go through all the miseries of life. Lord, I know there's trouble on every side. I know there's problems of life. I understand all that. But God, we don't have to be drugged down in the mire of sin with it. Lord, God, we can go through the problems of life looking toward heaven for the answer. Lord, would you help us this day? We'll praise you for it. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We look here in 2 Timothy and there's a charge. And we say, well, why do we hear 52 years of preaching this old gospel? Isn't it about time we change and get a little bit more modern? Well, no, I think the Bible teaches us that we need to keep preaching the old gospel. Amen. Why do we preach it? Well, first of all, I notice in the Bible that the reason we keep preaching this old gospel now, for me, for 45 years, almost 45 years, I've been preaching this old gospel. Amen. Well, I get to thinking about it and you say, well, why do you do it? Well, because it's God's plan. Amen. Listen to this. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 58 and verse 1, cry aloud. That's the reason I lift my voice up. Amen. Cry aloud, my friend. In other words, get folks' attention. Amen. Too many of us preachers want to lull them to sleep. Open your Bibles and turn with us in the book of 2 Timothy. Oh, there's some wonderful scriptures there to be shared. We want to just keep them. Yeah, go ahead, preacher. Amen. Listen to what the Bible says. He says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. That's what the Bible tells us to do. This is what God's called us to do. He's called us to get loud. Can you imagine Jesus as he's preaching to the multitudes there in Galilee and Jerusalem, different places, as he preaches to them? No sound system, no wireless mic. Pastor said, come on, we'll go up here and get a wireless mic. I said, you mean there's not even a wire hooked to it? Well, there's one. I said, why do they call it wireless then if it's got one wire? Amen. I don't know. Some things we do, it don't make any sense. But anyway, Jesus didn't have a lapel mic. If he had it, he didn't have a lapel to put it on anyway, nor a tie. Amen. But he did. So you know what? There's no way he could have got up before a multitude of people and talked to them. Amen. You stop and think about it. He had to lift his voice up. Amen. Why? Why would he do that, Brother Dan? Because the Bible told him to, even the Son of God. And he knew it better than any of us because he is the Word. Amen. But it says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions. That's what we're supposed to do, folks. We're supposed to preach against. Now listen, some of us preach, and I think we preach for sin. But we're to preach against sin. We're to warn folks. You know what sin does? Sin ruins our life. Sin messes our life up. Right. Amen. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin. We're going to hit that later on. But my friend, listen to me. Oh, it is. There's pleasure in sin. You can enjoy it for a little while. But you know what that sin does? It's like a cancer. It'll eat at you. It'll eat at you. It'll eat at you until it has destroyed you. I see a lot of Christians today, I said Christians, that are miserable as the devil himself. I mean, they're so unhappy. I mean, folks, some of them got a terrible attitude about them. Amen. And you know why? Because they've let sin come into their life. They have not confessed it and got rid of it. They just let it grow and sit there in their life and grow and grow and grow and grow. My friend, the whole time that sin is just eating away at them and destroying their life. You watch them. They go from miserable to more miserable. It ain't something that gets better. Sin just gets worse. Well, I can handle it. I want to slap you in the face right quick. You're a liar. Because you can't handle sin. That's right. Come on, preacher. You'll find out your sin's handling you.
That's right. That's
amen.
Right.
When you started playing around with sin, you was having fun. You could sin and put a smile on your face. Nobody knows that I'm sinning, but I'm enjoying it pretty good. You can do that, but after a while that sin gets a hold to you. Then you find yourself doing that sin when that sin says do it. you lose your control. As a matter of fact, the very first time you sin, you've lost your control. Amen. And that sin just keeps controlling you, and it takes you down a road of destruction. I mean, just keeps you going down the road of destruction, my friend. And it won't get any better. You think you're miserable today. You can get worse. Did you know that? You just hang on to your sin. Amen. Well, listen, our job as a preacher is to, we're to live it. Amen. We're to live it, but then we're to preach it. To show folks their transgressions, to get you to wake up and realize, hey, listen, sin is ruining your life. Leave it alone. Amen. And the Bible also tells us here in 2 Timothy, he says, preach the word. It's God's plan. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, it says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, not foolish preaching. That's what a lot of preachers are doing today is foolish preaching. They're preaching out of some other book. They're getting up telling little stories, my friend. But it's the foolishness of preaching. The world thinks this is, they look at us like, that's foolish to get up there and holler and scream and running around and all that other spitting and carrying on. Why, that's foolishness. Well, no, my friend, it's not. Why? Well, the Bible goes ahead and says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. I remember back a few years ago, 46 as a matter of fact, an old preacher got up and was preaching. He was doing just pretty much like I'm doing this morning. He was running over here and he'd preach over here for a while. And he'd run over here. And you know why we do that? Because not all the sinners are sitting on the same side. Amen. He'd run over here and preach a little while. He'd get down. He'd come down behind the pulpit. Sometimes he's at the back of the church or the front. It's according to which way you look at it. Amen. But he's all the way back here preaching. Why? Because not all the sinners sit at the front. And he preached and he hollered and he screamed and he carried on, my friend. Boy, he is a preaching about Jesus. He is telling folks if you die in your sins, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell, but you don't have to. Amen. You can trust Jesus as your Savior and be saved. Praise God. Boy, I tell you what, finally it began to get through this old hard head of mine and I realized something. That preacher was a preaching to me. Amen. He was telling me. Boy, I tell you, that night I got saved. Hallelujah. I'm so glad, praise God. It was that foolish preaching. I sat back there and thought, this is foolish. Man, he's just running all over the place. Why don't he stand still? It kept me awake. Amen. You say, well, is that the real reason? I tell you what, it's a pretty good reason to be moving around. Besides that, it's hard to hit a moving target. Amen. Some of you sure like to throw something every once in a while. Amen. I'm just telling you, this is God's plan. Church. You listen, you say, well, I'm not a preacher. No, but you're a member of this church, and it's your responsibility to make sure this church keeps preaching this old-fashioned gospel. Why? Because it's God's plan. It's the only hope your family and my family has.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. You got family that are lost without Jesus. You got some that are out there wayward. My friend, the only hope is that this old church keeps on preaching the gospel. Amen. Why? Because there'll be a place that they can come to and hear the truth. You can't find that very much up and down the highway. Amen. You can find a lot of them that'll tickle your ear, but you can't find a lot of them where they get their sins preached on and they can come and repent. Amen. But not only is it God's plan, y'all taking too much of my time. Listen, it's also because I'm not ashamed. Too many preachers today are ashamed to preach the gospel. Amen. You know why? Because the world makes fun of us. Christians, listen to me. That's the reason some of you don't live like you ought to live. We call it peer pressure. People make fun of you. Oh, you one of them old-fashioned Christians? I say, yeah, I am. You recognize that, did you? Hallelujah. Hey, listen to me. Thank you for bragging on us. Amen. You say, I was putting you down. Oh, I'm sorry. I get my directions mixed up every once in a while. Amen. I just feel like I'm up. Amen. After all, I'm the one up here with a smile on my face and enjoying it. You're the one sitting back there. Now you answer to me who's up. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, listen to me. Well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of what Jesus done for me over 2,000 years ago at Calvary. I'm not ashamed that they took him off that cross and they placed him in the tomb. I'm not ashamed that on the third day he arose and he's still alive today. I'm just not ashamed of that. As a matter of fact, I'm excited about it. I get carried away. I know some of you wished I would. That's all right. Somebody said one day, said, "I ought to have a place for you." I said, "They do. It's called heaven." Amen. Well, I'll tell you something. Pastor said this morning, we were talking, his hand was started itching. He said, "I'm going to get some money." I said, "I'm going to hang around you in case you drop some of it." He said, "Wouldn't it be something if I won the lottery?" He said, "That'd be a miracle because I don't even buy the tickets." Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm glad, praise God, that one day I got saved and it wasn't a ticket that I got. They got an old song out. I got a ticket. You got to get a ticket. I don't have no ticket. I got a Savior. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Boy, I tell you, if the pastor somehow or another did win the lottery, hey, man, somebody came by and stuck a ticket in his pocket or whatever, and he won the lottery. You can't tell me, Brother Larry. You just can't tell me. Not to where I'd believe it anyway. If you won, what's the lottery now? Somebody tell me it plays it. I don't know. Last time I've seen it on the billboard, it's in millions of dollars. But can you imagine winning $1 million? I don't want anybody to know. Can you imagine that? I'm one of those guys, if I win $5, if I scratch off a Coca-Cola cap and it says, "You win one free Coke," I want to tell everybody, "I won a free Coke." Amen. Hey, but isn't it something, we get salvation? I mean, we get saved, born again, and we want to be. I don't want anybody to know it. I want everybody to know that I have eternal life.
Amen.
Praise God. Been born again. I mean, God, the God of heaven birthed me into his family. Hallelujah. Amen. Miss Pam sang that song, and I love it, and I know I've made reference to it before, but that second verse says, "May I introduce you to this friend of mine?"
Amen.
He's my friend. I want you to know I'm proud of him.
Yes.
I'm proud to say that Jesus is my friend. I'm not ashamed. I don't care if you're a Muslim this morning and about to cut my head off. I want to tell you, just before you do, let me tell you about this friend of mine.
Amen.
Amen. Don't worry about death, honey. I mean, can you imagine? If you don't shut up, we're going to send you to heaven early. Boy, isn't that awful? Oh, really? It ought to thrill us to death to know that we can live for Jesus, and if it's necessary, we can die.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Why? Because we're not ashamed. Not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me give you some verses. We're going to have to hurry up, folks. I'm getting hungry. Romans chapter 10, verse 11 says, "Whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed." And then he tells us in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto all them that believe."
Yes.
I'm not ashamed, my friend. All I did one night was came down an aisle and knelt down in an old-fashioned altar and believed God, and he saved me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You say, "No, you had to confess." Well, if I believed him, you better believe I confessed. Amen. Well, I'm glad. I'm proud of that tonight or today. Not that I done anything. Oh, listen to me. The work was already done at Calvary.
Yes.
Amen. So I didn't do anything to obtain this salvation. I just believed. And by the way, I got that faith from him. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that he's the author and finisher. It means the beginning and the end. The author and the finisher of my faith. Amen. It's all him. Praise God. So when I shout and holler and I get excited, it's because of him, not me. Amen. Well, not only am I not ashamed, oh, my friend, listen, God hasn't changed. That's the reason we keep preaching this old gospel. God hasn't changed. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Isn't it something we're always trying to change God? We try to change his word. We try to change everything about God. He says this, "I refuse to change. And you all can't make me." That means every one of you. "You can't make me change." Amen. We can all get together. All the Baptists in the world could get together. I'd say big deal, but they could all get together and say, we're going to change God. Well, there ain't enough of us, so let's get the Methodists involved in this thing. All the Methodists and the Baptists, we still don't have enough. Well, let's get the Pentecostals, and let's get the. Well, as a matter of fact, let's get every religious group there is, and get all of us together, and let's vote, and let's make God change. Do you know what? We still can't do it. He's all powerful. About the time we take a vote and say, all right, let's make God change, God goes and suck the breath out of every one of us, and we'd die. Why? He ain't going to change. That's what he said about himself. Brother Danny didn't say that. God said that. He said, I'll not change. He'll not change one little thing in his word. Though you and I say, well, I don't know. I don't really like it that way. I think God ought to. And listen to me. You ain't going to change him. Well, you know what I decided I'll do? I'm just going to do it my way anyway. God will have to come around sometime or another. Wrong again. He don't change. He's never changed. You see, God's not a God of opinions. God is a God of statements. Our opinions change. Amen. I mean, I've heard of these preachers write these books on how to rear children. And then we find out they didn't have any at the time. So they wouldn't know. But then when they have them and their kids get up to the age or whatever that book's covered, they take their books off the market. Why? Because their opinion changes. You'll read in there how God says we ought to rear our children. And today, some of the things that God says is against the law to do. Like beat the devil out of them. Amen. You say, now the Bible doesn't say that. Well, it does. It says to chasten them. Correct them. You know what makes them where they need the chastening and the correcting? The devil. So if you beat the devil out of them, guess what? You're going to have a pretty good kid. Amen. And some of us adults, that's what happened to us. We didn't get the devil beat out of us when we was little. We still full of the devil. Amen. But some of those things that God says is against the law. I can just see them now trying to charge God with child abuse. And God would look at him in the face and he'd say, let me explain something what child abuse is. Child abuse is neglecting your children and letting them have their way and never laying a rod against their flesh. That's child abuse.
Yes, sir.
And it is.
That's right.
Well, we've neglected our children. We've let them go their own way, do their own thing, my friend, and it's coming back on America today. We were down in Kentucky this last week in revival down there. One morning, there's a man that works at the church there full time. He's a custodian, I guess you'd call him. We used to call him a janitor when I was growing up. He's a custodian, amen. And a young guy, got two children, I believe it is. And he just got a call from the school. The school, they call it lockdown. The school is in lockdown. That's a prison term. Amen. They're in lockdown. Well, that's a prison term. But it's in our schools now because somebody got on the internet and made a little statement on the internet about going to bring a pistol today to school. And they picked it up after school started. And so they had it locked down. And all the agents were there. All the, you know, the police, all of this kind of stuff was there. And you know what they were doing? You know what everybody started doing? Asking for prayer. They started asking for prayer. Y'all pray for our kids at school. Well, I mean, I went into a post office and here's the lady that works there and here's a man that was there to buy some stamps or something and they were talking about it and the man said, oh, we got a call first thing this morning, said, start your prayer chain. Oh, we got to pray. Now, I'm not making light of this, but listen to me. We got to pray. We got to take our children to the Lord and ask God to help them. And then all of a sudden, it came to my mind. I've heard this so many times. Where's God in a situation like that? Where is God, this God that all you Christians believe in? Where's God when this is going on? My reply is this. He's right where everybody wants him, away from the school, out of the kid's life, nothing to do with him. That's where he's at. By request, he's walked off and left them. Amen. And now we're praying and asking for his help. If we'd left him in the school, these things wouldn't happen. Amen. Oh, my friend, I'm just not ashamed of the gospel. I'm just not ashamed. There's other things we could go on. God hasn't changed, my friends. As I was on, listen, he says in Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then, my friend, I'm going to quickly go through a couple of these and then get to the last point. Man hasn't changed. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man has not changed. In all of our wisdom, we can grab up an old cell phone and punch in and call somebody way off over yonder. Wireless. Not even one wire. We can get on that thing and we can shoot them a text. Amen. I mean, it's getting to be such a thing, it happens during church. Folks bring their cell phone to church. Everybody must be a brain surgeon and on call. Amen. Kids, come to church, got their cell phone. What is so important that you can't listen to God? Huh? Listen, and you say, well, mine's went off, but I forgot. Why did you bring it in the church with you? This is my wireless mic. I don't have no cell phone with me. I got one out there in the motorhome. I know some folks that are at the point of death this morning. He said, well, you ought to have your cell phone. If they die, they can't get in touch with you. If they die, getting in touch with me ain't going to help none. But maybe you could spend the last few hours with them. Oh, really? What about trusting God? I figure it's better off let God spend that time with them than me. Well, we think we're important, don't we? Huh? We really think we're important. Got to have that cell phone with us all the time. Well, I'm telling you, folks, I just don't understand it. We have just gotten to where we think we're somebody. The truth is, we're still lost and in our sins. With all the modern technology, we're still lost and in our sins without Jesus. Amen. Amen. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, my friend, I'm telling you, listen, and sin hasn't changed, my friend. The Bible tells us, we already shared Hebrews 11:25, there's pleasure in sin for a season. James 1:15 says, when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. When sin's had its fun with you and it's tired of you, you know what it'll do? It'll kill you. Sin will actually kill you. It'll have fun with you. It'll string you along, making you think you're having fun. And when it gets through with you, it'll choke the life out of you. Sin hasn't changed. Oh, my friend, when are we going to listen to God? Sin yet hasn't changed. Hell hasn't changed. Luke chapter 12, verse 5 says, but I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed, hath power to cast you into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. We're afraid of what people will say or what they'll do. We're afraid of ISIS. Though some are stupid enough to go on to join it, why would any idiot, excuse me, you say, you're using mighty strong language. Somebody's got to wake us up. Amen. Folks in America want to join that murderous bunch of hooligans, scoundrels. Amen. That's all they are. And they're using the name of religion to do it. Well, I wouldn't want a God. Listen to me. I wouldn't want a God that says you ought to go out and kill some folks today. I'm glad my God says you ought to go out and win them that they might have eternal life. He said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. God's not interested in taking life from you. He's interested in pouring a whole humping bunch out on you. Amen. Why would anybody want to kill folks and say, my God told me to? Tells me right quick what God they're working for. I don't care what name and title they give him. tells me, I know where that God come from. He came from heaven. He was cast out. Why? He tried to take over up there. Didn't work. And he's taking over down here, but it still ain't going to work. Let me say this to you. He's a loser.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. He's a loser, praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to get to see him one day as they cast him into that bottomless pit. I'm going to get to watch. Throw him again. Amen. Oh, listen, hell hasn't changed. My friend, then I want to, we'll end with this one. Some of you ready to go. I know I am. Amen. Well, what are we eating today? What kind of meat are we eating? We'll have an invitation later today. Amen. Hallelujah. I wish I'd have known that a little earlier. Would have shortened this thing. Amen. Listen, let me tell you, why do you keep preaching an old-fashioned gospel? Because it still works. Listen to this. Out of all of the gossip that this world has put together, out of all of the gospel, or gossip, all of the gossip that the world has put together, you know what I'm saying? You and I have got together. Out of all that gospel put together, it has never saved one soul. Listen to me. Out of all the gossip that we hear and we keep sharing, it's never saved one soul. You would think gossip saves folks because we do so much of it. Are you listening to me? Gossip, gossip, gossip. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but here's what I heard. Do you know that junk has never saved a soul? As a matter of fact, it's never even given anyone any help. As a matter of fact, it's never even comforted anybody. Think about your gossip. All it has done is brought others down and tore your character down.
That's right.
Amen. But you know what the gospel has done? It has saved souls. I didn't told you. Pastor told you this morning. There's others I could just open up for testimonies right quick. Some of you would dare just pop up and start telling about when you got saved. Amen. You know why? The gospel. You would think that if gossip would do it, we'd just, all of us, let's just start gossiping. Well, as a matter of fact, we do, don't we? Amen. But it don't help. It just tears down. I mean, it just destroys. Well, somebody's got to destroy them. Somebody's got to bring them down. Is that my job and your job? No, it's not. I found out those folks that are trying to destroy others end up destroying themselves.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, it's my job to bring him down because of his sins.
Whoa.
God don't need my help nor yours. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord.
Right.
Amen. Well, if the gospel... the gospel is whereby people get saved. Instead of spending our time gossiping, why don't we spend our time gossiping? Gossiping, telling them about Jesus. That's not hearsay. I know it for a fact that he lives. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. I'm not standing up here telling you, well, I've heard that Jesus died on the cross. Honey, he did. He did.
Yeah,
well, I heard. You see, I heard that one day. And then I believed. And now I don't heard it no more. Amen. But I believes it. It's true. He died on the cross of Calvary. Amen. This is not gospel or gossip. This is gospel. God said it's all right to talk about me.
Amen.
And boy, I want to. Oh, by the way. Let me introduce you to this friend of mine who hangs out the stars, tells the sun when to shine, kisses the flowers each morning with dew, but he's not too busy to care about you. Hallelujah. That's the gospel. Well, I tell you, it's the only thing that still works. I was there in that church in Kentucky this week. On Sunday mornings we preached. Young lady came forward during the invitation and accepted Christ as their Savior. I guess maybe a teenage girl, older teenager, she got saved. On Tuesday night, a man and his woman friend, thank God for the woman friend, amen? Well, over some of you anyway. But he and his lady friend came to church. They both of them messed up big time. This is their testimony now. They told it. Messed up in drugs. Big time druggers. And that morning, or that evening, Tuesday evening, both of them came to the altar prayer. He came and knelt down over here. While he's over here, she came and knelt down over there. Preacher dealt with him. One of the ladies of the church dealt with her. They got up after a while. I'm going on with the invitation. Come to the end of the invitation. I turn it over to the pastor. The pastor says, I can't even remember his name. It just slipped my mind. He called him a name. He said, this first time they've been to our church. I did not know them. I believe their aunt was a member of the church. Said she had invited them to come. And they came tonight. And he said, would you tell me what happened? And that guy, I'd say around 40 years of age, you could tell, listen to me, you know, you can tell he's lived a rough life. He stood there and he said, I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me. And he did. I mean, it wasn't, I think he did. I sure hope he did. He said, and he did. And then he turned to the young lady and her woman, and he said to her about the same thing, and she said, Jesus Christ came into my heart, forgave me of my sins. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it still works. It's the only thing that works is the gospel. In a day and time when nothing seems to work anymore, I mean nothing seems to work. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, nothing seems to work anymore. I'm going to tell you what will work. The gospel will still work. It's the only hope, folks, that we have. There's none other name under heaven given whereby we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is the gospel. If you're going to go to heaven, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Are you getting it? Whosoever that was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What do you say? You got to have your name written in the book of life to escape hell and to be able to go to heaven. And Jesus is the only way. When you receive him as your Savior, your name is recorded in heaven, in the book of life, in heaven. The devil can't get to it.
Amen.
There's no eraser on God's pen. I believe it's written in blood.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It's there. What are you saying? It's there permanently.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I don't have to worry about, well, I sure hope I can hold out to the end. I sure do hope I can as far as my faithfulness. But as far as going to heaven, it's already a done deal. I'm a going. You say, well, I don't believe. Oh, you can't keep me out. There ain't no need to argue with me.
Amen.
I'm a going anyway.
That's right.
Hallelujah. It's good to be saved. This one to know that your name is in the book of life and you'll not be cast into hell, but you're going to heaven with Jesus. Amen. This morning, now the question is this, are you saved? Is your name in that book? Well, I sure hope so. That's a bad way to live. Bad way, just as sure as you hope so, it may not be so. Do you understand? You see, I didn't say I hope I'm going. I said I know I'm going. He says you can know that you've passed from death into life. Well, I'm glad I know that God saved me and gave me eternal life. I have it. Amen? Jesus lives in my heart. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, praise God. And then when that occurs, my friend, it'll be too late for anybody to try to interfere. I'll already be in heaven. Amen? Aren't you glad this morning? Listen to me. This is an old-fashioned gospel. Been preached here in this church for 52 years. And I can honestly report to you, still works. It still works. Go ask that couple. Go ask that young lady. What about Jesus? Oh, he lives in my heart. How do you know? Because preacher preached that old-fashioned gospel. And I believed. And Jesus never changes. So he done what he said he'd do.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand this morning. Everyone.